Now, we talked about the fact that we're going to be discussing the science of drug discovery, and we reported a few months ago, actually, on The Naked Scientist from Edinburgh about drug-resistant tuberculosis appearing in the country. That's extended drug-resistant XDR-TB. We're also well acquainted with superbugs like MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, and also other killers like malaria, and the fact that these things can all become resistant to drugs, and that means we have to find new ways to tackle them. Well, joining us in the studio this week is Dr. Haran Jotti, who is the founder of the drug discovery company Aztec Therapeutics. He set this up in 1999. He started off as the chief scientific officer, and he's now the chief executive officer. So, Haran, thank you very much for joining us. Great to have you with us on The Naked Scientist. What's the basic way in which, before you came along with your techniques, we were trying to invent new drugs?
So the conventional approach to discover new drugs really starts with initially finding a target which may be associated with a particular disease. And that target quite often is a protein which malfunctions in one way or another. Sometimes it's hyperactivated, the protein's function. And what you then do is you take that protein and then you screen it against a collection of compounds. Basically, these are libraries of chemical entities. And quite often these libraries are really rather huge. So in a sense, there could be hundreds of thousands of different compounds. And the aim there is to identify some compounds which actually bind or interact with that target protein. So those are called leads in the drug discovery terminology. And then after that, what happens is you try to optimize those leads by doing some iterative chemistry, i.e. you try to improve the interaction of those compounds against that target protein. And you try to impart in those compounds the drug-like properties one needs for that compound then to become a drug.
So in the real world, how long would it take between you coming up with, a structure for something in the body you want to target? Say you find a gene which makes something linked to, say, high blood pressure, and you want to make a drug to lower blood pressure by blocking that gene. How long would it take if you invented a molecule between the invention of that molecule, the conception in the laboratory, and it actually going into a patient? What's the average time?
You know, this process, this whole procedure is a really very long time, and it takes many years, and it ranges between 5 to 10 years often to go from the concept to a drug which may get onto the marketplace and to treat patients. So that's why it requires a huge amount of investment in this whole process.
And so what's the average price tag for a drug coming out today?
The kind of monies which it requires to develop a drug is in the order of $800 million.
Oh, wow.
So that number also does include a lot of the programs which actually fail to generate the compound.
That's why pharmaceutical companies, when they make a drug, have to charge a lot for it. That's certainly to the first world, in order to make their money back, to bankroll the development of other drugs that are not going to succeed.
That's exactly right. The actual failure rate is really quite eye-watering, in fact, depending on where you look at the process, but the metrics are they range in the order of 1 in 100 or 1 in 1,000 compounds actually get to the marketplace.
Why do most not make it?
So that's a big question there, and a lot of people are trying to understand how we can improve this productivity. And one thing which it is quite clear from looking at the types of chemistries which have been generated using this more conventional approach is that perhaps these molecules have become too molecularly complex, and perhaps they're a little bit too large. And that what happens then in the body is that some of these compounds are actually metabolized in a negative way, which generates toxicities and side
effects.
So
you're saying the actual drug itself that the company might make ends up being far too big and ends up turning into other things in the body which can have harmful effects, and that's why the compound fails.
There is clear evidence which suggests that the attrition or the failure rate of compounds which are being developed in the clinical setting is correlated with the size of the molecule.
So, do you think it's not also correlated with the size of the legal bills that companies like Merck have been facing? Because when they come up with a drug and then they get sued for $1 billion a few years later because of consequences which came to light later, this is probably acting as a massive disincentive, isn't it?
There is no question these are are broader societal pressures on the industry. And I think in a very general way, I think society has perhaps become a little bit overly risk averse, because there's no question every drug will be toxic to some degree, depending on what dose. So the whole question here is, all the challenge is to give appropriate amounts of drug to deal with the disease and not generate toxicity.
So what's the approach you've been taking at Aztecs to do it differently and surmount some of these difficulties?
So the key issue that we've been trying to target is to try to keep the eventual drug candidate, the drug molecule, a slightly smaller, slightly less complex. So what we do is, rather than screen these compounds, which are quite often between 300 to 500 Daltons in size, we actually screen much smaller chemistries between 1 to 200 Daltons, and these are what we call fragments. And then what we're able to do is add chemically to those fragments to improve the interaction of those original fragments to the target protein.
Still sounds like an enormous amount
down.
Of work, though. I mean, how are you able to do this and do it more efficiently and more cost-effectively than other companies? Because if it was that easy, they'd be doing it.
There's no question it is difficult, but what we've been doing is focusing on how you would optimize the technology to be able to firstly detect these very small fragments, which is a technical challenge in itself, but then to optimize. And what it really boils down to is visualization of how these fragments bind. So we've developed biophysical techniques, X-ray crystallography, NMR, and integrated these suites into an approach which we call Pyramid, to allow us to do this fragment-based drug discovery.
OK, well, talk us through the pyramid bit by bit then, exactly how you would go about with your technique making a new agent.
So once we've identified the target protein, we then produce the three-dimensional structure of that protein by doing X-ray crystallography. And for that, you have to do a lot of protein expression and biochemistry.
So that gives you the shape, what the actual molecule looks like in the
exactly
first place.
Right.
And how does that help you?
So the way that helps us in two ways. Firstly, it tells us exactly where a fragment has been bound to that target, and that allows us to actually then rationally optimize that fragment to fit better into that target protein.
Oh, I see. So that gives you the business end of the drug, so you know which bit is doing the important job.
That's right. And then what we could do really is, what we are doing is handcrafting these molecules to very uniquely directly fit into the pockets of the protein. Now, the other key advantage of this approach is that these fragments are very low affinity. They bind with very, very low interactions. And it turns out that biophysical techniques such as X-ray crystallography and NMR are really much better ways of detecting the original binding of the fragments.
And then where do you go?
What we then do is do several cycles of optimization. We add extra functional groups onto these fragments and grow these fragments out, very much like a seed, like planting a seed and growing the seed. And once we actually have molecules which have the appropriate profile in terms of the properties one requires for a drug candidate, these molecules are then tested in human beings. Of course, before you do that, you have to test them in preclinical models.
And just finally, once you've arrived at this molecule you want to make, how do you actually get it so that you can make it efficiently? Because if you end up with very complicated chemistry needing to make these very complicated but small molecules, how do you make them?
So it turns out actually the fragments are actually very simple, much more simple than the larger, more complex molecules which conventional screening or conventional drug discovery actually utilises. So in fact the chemistry is simpler and less chemically challenging than conventional drug discovery.
Thank you very much. And just to finish off, have you got any compounds that you've now made and which are out there in the clinic, or is this all experimental at this stage?
No, we've put three compounds now into clinical trials. So our particular focus today is developing experimental cancer therapies, and we have three compounds being tested in cancer patients, both in the US and in the UK.
Thank you very much. That's Haran Jyoti. He's from Aztecs Therapeutics. He's with us. If you'd like to ask him any questions about how you develop new drugs, how you make molecules, the email address is chris@thenakedscientist.com.
The Naked Scientists. Brought to you by thenakedscientists.com.